I'm Lauren.
And I'm Ashley. And this, guys, is Nip Tuck Pod.
We are your girl chat. We say the things you want to hear, the things that you're thinking but you don't want to say out loud. And we're all about being strong, aspirational women who basically don't give a...
Lauren, anyway, if you want unfiltered chat, amazing beauty and product recommendations, then look no further, guys. This is the podcast where you will get all of the girly chat.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Everybody, and welcome back to part two of Vicky Patterson, The Secret 2. I am, of course, joined by my SES bestie, Ulrika Johnson.
Hello!
Right, mate, I am so intrigued about your love life. Is everyone? Do you get this off everyone? Is everyone just like, tell me who the most famous person you've kissed is? Because this is what I want to know, really.
Oh my god, I don't even know. See, I can't remember these things, Vicky. I'm just like trying to think back to...
Don't be coy now, Ulrika. I've seen all your bits.
I had a date with, this is before I was even famous, actually, so I don't even know how this happened. A date with Sylvester Stallone's brother.
Fuck off!
I know, isn't it?
That's so good. Is he handsome?
I was working as a secretary. I was like 20 or something. And he was a guest on the programme. And he like let it be known through the sort of showbiz section that, oh, he'd like take me out or whatever else. Honestly, I was so green and naive. I had no idea. So I went to some premiere or something with him. I do think I slept with him as well.
Good lass. With that, I love how you go, I don't know how this happened. Like, you're 53 now. Like, imagine this
54.
At 20. Fuck off, 53. Well, I'm like, imagine this at 20, mate. Like, I'd still shag you now. 110%. Like, imagine this at 20. Nah. If Sylvester Stallone had seen me, brother wouldn't have got a look in, man.
Oh no, hilarious. Yeah. And again, it goes back to that thing of like, if you're working in an environment, so I was working for a TV channel as a secretary, you have celebrities coming in all the time. So you're looking at, you feel like you're part of something. You get kind of, I guess, a bit sort of swept up in it.
Yeah, you get caught up in the culture. Like, listen, it's totally different, Ulrika, but this is like my only point of reference here. Before I did like Jodie Shore, I was working in VIP rooms. Like, I was the hostess, you know, if your name wasn't on the list, you weren't getting in. I was the door whore. And we didn't have anyone famous up there, really. Like, it's Newcastle, like an Ant and Dec one ever there, and it's long before Cheryl Cole. So basically, like, it was just if sort of the club booked a PA or if we're lucky enough to have a footballer or something. And I remember once we got Tinhead off Brookside.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And honestly, mate, like, I lost my head. You would think it was Sylvester Stallone's brother the way I went on over it, like, taking pictures with him and stuff. Like, I was absolutely buzzing. Told me mates about it for weeks after.
Oh, my God.
So I think feeling excited about Sylvester Stallone is completely okay. Well, he's brother.
No, it's just, like, so, it's so bizarre. And I actually think when I then went to present the weather, of course, on a Friday, we'd have showbiz people in or whatever else. And sometimes really big names or whatever else. Oh, and one of my favourite music stars or musicians, I guess, was Chris Rea. And he came on the show and I got so nervous, I went and hid in a cupboard because I couldn't. And I was like, and in the end sort of went, could you please sign my CD? And it's like, knobhead. Like, he didn't care about fame, as you know. He's very, very humble and all that stuff. And it's like, but yeah, you'd get stars in, big TV, film stars and whatever. It was quite interesting, and things that I remember from my early childhood, and that's what I think must happen to you too, that you know people from your childhood that you've looked at on TV or whatever else. Mm. And suddenly you get to meet these people now. You get to work with them. And that's quite an extraordinary thing. I always have that where you said that little pinch me moment where you go, oh my gosh, that's incredible. Like, yeah.
Honestly, mate, I don't mean to blow smoke up your ass, and I have, you know, I like fallen in love with you when we did SAS, but like for me, meeting you was a big thing. Like, I remember telling me mam, and me mam lost her shit because, like, for us, you were just the woman we would sit and watch, and you were so effortlessly glamorous with your like Swedish good looks, Ulrika, and like you could hold your own with the boys. That's what I liked. Like, on like Shooting Stars, like it was such a male dominated space.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, like, you still gave as good as you got and, like, were respected because, yeah, you looked great. They needed a bit of eye candy. But you fucking, you didn't take nothing lying down. Like, you had you had comedy timing and you were able to definitely sort of hold your own in a male-dominated space. So, no, mate, you were one of those for me. I feel like I may as well tell you. Definitely. My mum was like, what is she like? Is she as nice as we think?
Oh, that's
I was
so
like,
sweet.
Yeah, I was like, she's exactly what you'd think. My mum was like buzzing.
Oh, that's so sweet. Oh, that warms my heart. That's really sweet.
Okay, so right, what's your relationship status now then, Ulrika?
That's so interesting. So I came out of my last marriage 3 years ago and had, you know, no intention at all of going into a relationship. I think I'd always been a relationship person. I'd always been somebody who, I think from early on, I was always looking for the one, because I guess we were programmed to believe there was the one out there for you. So
yeah.
And also I wanted to breed, I wanted to have kids, so I was looking for the one who could inseminate me.
And just give me all the tiny humans.
Yes, my fallopian tubes are waiting. And
uterus is fucking kicking right off.
It's going dee, dee, dee. But yeah, so then I reached this point, you know, as I said, 3 years ago, and I was 51, and like, I don't want to be in a relationship, but I do want to have sex, and I'd like to have a lot of it, please. It's like my sex drive went a bit bonkers, and well, I don't know if it went bonkers, it may have been bonkers, but anyway, I wasn't having any sex. But then my friend put me on the dreaded dating apps, so then I did have a few dates. That was only beginning of this year, or like, well, whenever, yeah, spring this year. So I've had a few dates and things. Yeah, there's been no significant other. I think I'm ready. I think that sort of time of having dates with people, which is kind of such a foreign way to connect with people anyway, like on an app, it's for an old person, it's very bizarre. But
I think for anyone, like, I don't know anyone who finds that, like, that form of
soul destroying,
it's not organic, and like, no. We all would prefer, wouldn't we, to like catch someone's eye in a bar and have
or
that
smell
connection.
Them as they walk past you and you're like, oh my god, he smells so good, or I love his voice, or look at his hands.
Yeah.
You know,
oh, we just want that.
Yeah, but that's what you want.
Unfortunately. Like, yeah. Even me and Erkan, Ulrika, like, everyone's always like, how did you meet? Because he's such a lovely, handsome man, and, like, we're so smitten. Like, everyone expects there's this, like, really romantic story to go along with it. And I'm just like, ugh, Instagram. it's not romantic. Yeah.
But I think, but in a way, I've now come to terms with that is... It may not always be the way that people are going to meet, but it's definitely going to be part of it. And you clearly made a connection. There was something about your exchange of words or whatever it was that went on between you that made you go, oh. And so, you know, it is different from meeting in a pub over a bag of pork scratchings, but equally it is another way of meeting people. But I think what I've sort of concluded now is that dates are all kind of, they're all well and good. I wouldn't mind having somebody in my life, but it might not be the conventional way. So it might not be, you know, to live with somebody or whatever, but I would definitely like to sort of be in a relationship, I think. Yeah.
Do you think, like, as you've got older, your needs have changed?
Massively, massively. Yeah. As I said, I don't need a man. I don't need, I guess none of us ever needed a man, but what I mean by that is sometimes. Yeah,
doesn't it?
Yeah, but then also, certainly if you're creating a family, it's quite, and you're heterosexual, it's quite, you do need a man in that respect. Mm. But I've always, I guess because I was always looking to settle down, and I'm not necessarily looking for that now, but I'm looking for somebody, not actively looking, but, would love to have someone to love and who loves me, and where you just understand, you just know, and you don't have any of this anxiety. Are they messaging back? Is he going to turn up? Is he going to bail? No, all that stuff. I'm too old for that. And also, I know myself.
Have we ever been young enough for that bullshit? I'm sorry. Yeah. I look back at what I used to put up with in my 20s, and a couple of my mates are newly single now, and they're going to have to go through that fucking process again. And
yeah,
we're all just dreading it on their behalf, because I just think, whoever really had time for that shit?
No. And actually, I think I never, because I lived my life slightly in reverse in the sense that settled down really young, career, family, whatever. And now I'm freer, and now I can do... Now it's my time to pursue what I want to pursue and do what I want to do. My kids are growing up a bit more. Of course, they still need me. I'll always be there for them. But this is my time now.
Yeah.
I really feel that. And I think, because I never had that in my sort of 20s, that whole unreliability. It was you went out with someone and you... it's my son, who's going to be 27, he told me, he said, relationships, it's you date... Then you become exclusive, and then you become a couple or something. And I'm like, what the fuck? There are these layers and bases. What? In my day, you went out with someone. You went out with someone, and that was it. It was none of that. But I guess the problem we have is that we're connecting with so many people that people don't feel the need to show good manners or, whatever. And it just ends up being a mess.
I think we're the your son's generation. So they must be Gen Z. Or is he a millennial? Is he Gen Z or a millennial? I'm a millennial, so he must be a Gen Z.
Yeah, probably.
This thing confuses me. But the other generation that has made fucking everything more complicated. Yeah. They've taken things that should have just been so straightforward. And I always believed if you like someone, just tell them and then you're together.
Yeah, no games.
That's it. I can't stand this. He's not asked me to be his girlfriend, so I'm not. No. You're fucking asking for trouble there. That's bullshit. Yeah. I just straightforward. We like each other, so we're together. But yeah, now, mate, it does feel it's just so much more complicated. Mm. I wouldn't like to be a young person trying to navigate the world of dating now.
No, I think so too. I feel exactly the same. It's been soul destroying, and it's been a bit of a shock. And the younger guys that I've connected with it's a bit of, they're the most important thing in their life, and they do a lot of navel gazing and this is what I want to do and I want to go off and do this. And I'm thinking, God, mate, at your age, I was just working my ass off.
Yeah.
I was dedicated to other people. I didn't have the time to, you're just completely kind of different stages of your life. But yeah, no, I'm totally with you. I feel like it's almost like there's, a set of rules, isn't there, for things that you have to do and that you have to say, and a list of good, just does my head in, and I'm absolutely clueless. And I think, God, can we just be direct?
Yeah, it's like there's a rule book, but you haven't got it.
Yeah,
that's how I felt when I broke up with my ex. I remember thinking and even just still being 31, I think I was at the time, feeling for fuck's sake, I didn't want to have to start again. I thought this was my chance for children.
Yeah.
I thought this was my big white wedding dress and everything. And when you feel like you have to go back to square one, I just felt so defeated.
Yeah.
I was done with that section. And then I started getting back out there, and lads would message and text. And I'd feel like, it was, they'd say things we must meet up. And I'd be well, when then?
Yeah, you see, that's how, if you're saying that to me, that's what you're saying, you want to meet up. So I'm okay.
Let's put a fucking time on it. Let's put a date on it. And let's both turn up and dress smart and have nice conversation and drink nice things and eat some nice food. And they'd shit themselves. And I'd be like, so hang on a second, mate. What was all this, what was all this weeks of chat for? You can tend to just waste your own time, because I'm not. It's insane. And I do feel the dating world is difficult and hard, but God, mate, you're approaching it from such a different place now, though.
Yeah.
You've got your kids. You're a strong, financially independent woman. Like, you're not relying on these fellas for anything other than, like, a good scene too every now and then.
Yeah, so, no, exactly. Thank you very much.
So you, you should be, like, any one of these fellas' absolute dreams, Ulrika.
Well, I think actually, and of course this is absolutely nothing to do with sort of who I am, but the representation of what I am, which is what you said, which is, you know, secure in myself.
Yeah.
Like, I'm 54. If I don't know what I want now, I'll never know. And of course, we're all still, you know, works in progress, but definitely know what I want. I've done the whole children thing. I want to go and do the nice things now. I think they find it intimidating. I think they find it a little bit like and also it's like, if you then add into it, I guess, the fame aspect of things. And I'm obviously by no means anything like you are, because nobody bothers with me anymore. And that's really quite nice. But even so, that becomes almost threatening. And I'm like, but I can't even begin to show you how, like, normal and humble and boring I am. Like, you need to know. And, but maybe it's a man woman thing regardless. It doesn't have necessarily to do with fame or whatever else, but it definitely has to do with, guys always go, I love an older woman. Oh, I love an older woman. They love the idea of an older woman. They don't like the reality. The reality is like, she knows what she... she's got an opinion.
Like that. But then the same goes for an independent woman. Like, the amount of lads who I've gone out with and they've gone, like, I love the fact you make your own money. Like, I love the fact you don't need mine. I love the fact you're strong.
Yeah.
No, hang on. You like the idea of me.
Yeah.
Wait till you find out I'm not going to put up with you coming home all hours. Or going to expect you to do the dishes because we're equals. Like, you like the idea of someone with their own money, but the reality actually is intimidating. It means you've got to step up. It means you've got to fix up. It means you've got to be better, and that you don't like.
No.
So I'm with you.
I think that's 100% it. And it's just sort of like, it feels a bit disappointing because you sort of think, I thought we'd got further along the lines. And
also, mate, like, for me, like, I definitely think, I read this thing where apparently men are meant to mature at 37. So I'm assuming the guys you're dating are, like, around that. And I'm just like, oh, so hang on. It's not true, is it? They don't mature, do they? They don't. Oh, I knew it was bullshit.
I mean, it's all down, I guess, to the individual, and you know, you can get young people with who have mature heads and are really, really kind of solid. But I think there is, it's a little bit goes back to this thing of, like, there is so much choice nowadays in the world as regards everything, not just women or people or whatever, but just things to do or possibilities and whatever else. And I think in my day, it was just a bit simpler. It was like, it was the pub and it was that crowd of 20 people and you took your pick and it was like, and then you you might move to London or whatever else. But yeah, no, I think it's, there seems to be very little kind of, I don't know, staying power or
loyalty,
persistence or
dedication. Yeah.
And another thing that winds me up is inconsistency.
Here.
So I don't, you know how also we don't like words, we like actions, but inconsistencies are just like that. I don't know what you're like, but do you get a gut feeling when things are going wrong or shit or something's happening? I do. I go, literally, I can feel it in my stomach. Like, hang on a minute. There was an inconsistency there. And I can't put my finger on it, but always right. My gut's always right.
You've got to trust your gut. Like, I always think when it comes to, like, if you're flaky all the time, fine, be flaky all the time. If you're, like, really reliable, great, be really reliable all the time. But exactly like you say, if someone is nice to me one day and they're not nice to me the next, or reliable one day, not, I don't know where I stand, and it scares me off because I'm always the same. I'm always the same. And I
don't
want to,
somebody else shouldn't be allowed to put that on you.
Nah.
It's like you shouldn't. So I think I've got a lot more kind of clearer about knowing my boundaries now. Whereas I think, you know, there was a time where you're like, well, you leave the door ajar a little bit just in case. And now I'm like, do you know what? You said this. Let's just draw a line on the things and leave it. Yeah.
But then as you get, like, as I've noticed, even as I've got older, like, my sort of like bullshit tolerance, like what I'm willing to accept, like is just, it's so like I'm willing to accept so much less than I used to be.
Yeah.
Like I think when you're young, I don't know, like when you're younger, if you're just naive or if you just hope for the best or like if you just, maybe it's a bit of rose tinted glasses, I don't know. But like now I'm sort of very much like, no, I know what I want and I know what I'm worth and I know what I'm not willing to fucking accept.
Yeah.
And like I've seen like it in me mam as well. Like I watched her try and make her relationship with my dad work for like all of my life. And was like probably a lot more aware of how much she was sacrificing and giving of herself and, you know, how hard she was working than she thought.
Yeah.
And it's like now as I see it, like now I see her like as this sort of like 60-odd-year-old woman within a new relationship. Like she is so much more like self-sufficient and strong and less willing to put up with his bullshit. And bless our poor fella, like he's great. He doesn't do any of the stuff my dad used to do. But like I often just think like, no, you're like, as you've got older, you've got more and more powerful and less willing to put up with things you don't deserve. And I suppose we all just end up like that, don't we?
Yeah, you have to hope. I mean, I think there are some people who are born self-assured and who are probably born kind of don't take bullshit. And I've always admired that. But I've also always known that as a people pleaser and someone who puts other people first, because, you know, if that's how, if that's your personality, maybe like your mum, she's putting the children and her husband first and doing everything. And now she's kind of like, she's coming out of that and blossoming. Mm. And like me, she has more years behind her than she does in front of her. She's not going to waste it like being trapped in a situation, you know, that she doesn't want to, that you can't make work. And I think that's probably in a way was probably the end of my last marriage was absolutely devastating for me. Although I took the decision, it just broke my heart. Just hoped we'd be together. We get on really well. He lives just across the road. We get on really well still. But
oh, look cool. Convenient location.
But that coming to an end really was the beginning of, I guess, of a sort of chapter of my life that I never thought would happen. And it wouldn't have happened if that marriage hadn't come to an end. I'd still be putting other people first. I'd still be drowning in obligation and responsibility and all that sort of stuff. Whereas now I'm sort of going, do you know what? I'm just going to take that cloak off and see what it feels like to be me.
And to do things for you, because that's a female thing. Like, again, sweeping generalization. I'm so sorry. I think there's probably about three fellas listen to this anyway, so I'm not offending anyone. But like, I think that's a female thing. We try and be everything for everybody, Ulrika, like everything for our kids. Like we try and do every single job that comes our way. We try and make everybody happy and make them be the best versions of themselves. And finally, when you get to the end of the day or the end of the week, what's left for you? Like, I think it's definitely a female trait, because I don't know any fucking men who break their backs like that.
No, It's true, because it's that thing point where I realized that I couldn't be 100% at everything. Mm. Like, you know, I love my cooking. And so, but equally, like, if I do that, something else is going to have to suffer. And I'd be like, no, but I'd be like juggling plates going, no, but I still have to do that. And
literally juggling plates.
Yeah. And now it's like, no, I have to stop being so hard on myself. Do you know what? That wasn't done as much or as quickly or as whatever it is, that wasn't, but I just have to try and go easy on myself, because it's also exhausting constantly putting that pressure on yourself, because it's not always other people physically putting that pressure on yourself. It's a subconscious thing. You feel it. You just feel like you're around that sense of obligation.
And sometimes we're our own harshest critics, and we make a rod for our own back with a lot of stuff.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
But it does feel like, especially like all the news I've been reading about you in the press, I do my little research before I get my guests on, and it definitely feels like you've had this huge epiphany recently. Like, Ulrika, if I look half as good as you at your age, like, never mind sexy selfies, like, I'll be going to the fucking supermarket with me tits out, mate. Like, I'll be in the garden centre with me nunny out. Like, I won't care. I'll just be like, look at me, I'm 54 and this is how I look, so take it all in. But you said, like, your kids are a little bit embarrassing, but you don't care, mate. You've definitely had this real, it feels like a powerful shift in you.
Yeah, it's been really, really amazing, isn't the right word, because it's kind of tough also going through something like that, because as I said, coming out of my marriage, I felt lost and I didn't know what was happening and I wasn't expecting to find myself at that point doing that and all that sort of stuff. But then you, I think, because for the first time I wasn't looking for anybody else to like fill my hole. But you know what I mean? Not that hole, you know, but to fill a hole. I was, because I took time out to be on my own. I'm really comfortable in my own company and I do love time on my own. So that in itself made me just go, like, just listen to yourself. Just listen to yourself. It's something I've just never, ever done. I've never done it. And obviously, it's all well and good saying this, and it does take a lot to put it into practice. So, you know, it's not every day that I'm like this, but I'm definitely, there's been a massive change. And I also feel like, you know, although I'm 54, I feel like my age is just, you know, it's hard to sort of accept. You think, God, 54, that's really ancient. But on the other hand, I think, well, my head's like smutty and filthy and vile and rude.
And let's not forget, your body's still 25, mate. Looking at that, like, I'd be out of the moon to have that. 33.
No, there's a lot of excess skin, and I'm getting an old woman's ass, you know, when your ass just disappears.
Stop it. I've seen you in a bikini, Ulrika. I'm not accepting any of this. Like, Erkan says I've got a rectangle butt. He says my back falls into my legs. Like, there's just nothing there. He's right. Like, I can't. He's calling a spade a spade. So I still look at yours and think, gosh, she's got everything where it should be, the lucky cow.
Well, my ass is on my backside, that's about it, that's the only thing. But yeah, no, it's well, again, it goes back to us all judging our bodies, doesn't it? And you thinking that, you know, you're not happy entirely with this or you're not happy with that. And I have to say, I always take my hat off to you on your Insta when you show unattractive pictures of yourself, and you know, because if you're happy to show the good stuff, you've got to be happy to show the shit stuff.
Yeah.
But it still takes a lot of courage, and it takes a lot of just putting it out there. And I really because I look at you looking absolutely stunning, and then immediately, just like every other woman in the world, go and then it goes reality, and you're like. And I go, oh, thank God. That's the Vicky I know.
Yeah, that's the Vicky I know. Crying, covered in mud, yeah. hating our very existence. There she is. But, like, that for me, like, my decision to sort of take control, I suppose, of my narrative came because I was so sick of bad pap pictures, you know. Like, I was so sick of feeling like I was at the mercy of these people who ruined my holidays, who, like, took away magic moments for me, who made me feel afraid to go out, that I thought, you know, like, if all I'm ever posting is gorgeous pictures of myself, of course people are going to get excited when they see us, like,
eating
me shitty leggings, doing me shop, like, with no makeup on and like, me grey hairs. Like, of course they're going to be excited. So if you take control of that narrative and you say, well, listen, I am human. Like, I do have hangovers. I do have periods. I do have spots and I do get sweaty. Like, all these things. Mm. Then these fellas, there's nothing they can do. I've took away their power. So that was what that was for me. And, like, actually, that's what I want to ask you, like, Ulrika, whenever I... whenever someone comes on Vicky Patterson's Secret 2, obviously we ask them to divulge a couple of pearls of wisdom for our lovely listeners. And I don't even know if you are aware how many inspirational things you've said. Like, you've clearly just gone on such a fucking journey. Like, you're so brave, you're so strong, and you are an inspiration, I think. And I think a lot of lasses, like in particular a couple of my mates going through breakups at the minute, they feel powerless, they feel lost, they feel like they've had things taken away from them. But I want to know what your secret to finding your power is.
Oh, I guess always my number one would be honesty, and that's an honesty with yourself. So always been very honest about my own capabilities and whatever, but that it's honesty in every single facet of life. Honest about what you're capable of, honest about what you want.
Yes.
And like you said, honest about what you're prepared to put up with. Stop lying to yourself. God, the times I've lied to myself going, it's all right.
It's not all right.
Yeah, this, that, or the other. And honesty with other people. And that's one I found that can be trickier, in the sense that I like to you want to be nice to people and you don't want to say uncomfortable things. So asserting myself and being honest with other people was a bit of a struggle. But now I just go, it just does not feel right if I'm not being true to myself and being honest with myself. And I know it's just a kind of, well, it's obviously not a coincidence, but obviously I brought out my autobiography when I was 34.
I brought mine. I was about 20 fucking five, Ulrika, so I didn't worry, you're in good company. I didn't know.
It's just insane. I know. And the title of it was Honest, and actually I didn't particularly want that title. I was gonna have something else.
I feel like you would have gone for something a bit funnier, a bit more tongue-in-cheek.
Yes, it was gonna be Licking Lampposts, because if you tell me not to do something, I'll do it. So, you know, you shouldn't lick a frozen lamppost because your tongue will stick to it. Yeah. Well, I did. So, and then it became too cryptic. The publishers were like, no, Licking Lampposts, that would be, I have all sorts of weird interpretations. Let's just call it Honest. And I think honesty is something that is so, so important to me. And I can see when people are being dishonest with themselves, or when they're being dishonest with other people. So yeah, I guess it's not an easy journey being honest with yourself, and it's not easy asking yourself those questions. It's even harder sticking to what you're focusing on, but it's got to be done.
I agree. Like, even in relationships, it's so difficult to ask for what you want, and like, I think more often than not, people go through life being slightly unhappy in their circumstances.
Yeah, 100%.
Rather than say like, oh no, I want this in the bedroom, or oh no, like, I need you to pick up the kids, or, you know, like, rather than have that awkward conversation, they'll just sit on it and be miserable. And I think that's crazy. And you're so right. Like, being assertive, that owning what you want, being honest with yourself and others, that's powerful. That's fucking powerful.
And in fact, and that's so true, because it would have been very easy for me to have stayed in my last marriage. It was a massive disruption. You know, we have four kids. I mean, a couple of them grown up and whatever else. But, you know, we were a family. So suddenly come along and shake that up. We'd been together for 12 years or whatever else. To shake that up, it was like horrendous. And I just kept asking myself, like, can you do it? Can you, you know... And a marriage doesn't end overnight. You know, it takes time before you reach that conclusion. And I was like, there was just one day when there was, you know, a straw that broke the camel's back. And I was like, no, I cannot do this anymore. And I know shit's going to hit the fan. Everything's going to be awful. But interestingly, when you talked about you taking control on your Instagram, you know, compared to you, obviously, I had like 10 followers, but but Instagram for me has been a lovely way of taking control too, because all my narrative has been dictated by
the press,
media,
and public perception. Whatever.
Yeah, exactly. So to be able to go, here's me gardening, or here's me cooking, people go, I didn't know you like gardening, or I didn't know you got depression, or whatever it is. And you go, no, you see, that's who I am. And it's quite lovely to sort of have that. But absolutely, it's very, to stay in the status quo can be very comfortable. I think there's a lot of people out there, for fear of rocking the boat, will make themselves unhappy, and sometimes it absolutely is the right thing to do, and you just can't force other people to do it. They've got to do what's right for them. But yeah, it's there is light at the other end of the day. And it's a horrible thing to go through, but eventually things get better.
I mean, I always say, like, nothing in life worth having is easy.
It's true.
And, like, if you want to be happy, if you want to be successful, if you want a great body, if you want a good relationship, like, whatever it is, like, even look at being a mother. Christ, that's hard. Yeah. But all these things, like, they're so worth it. So, yeah,
you have to work at it.
You've got to work hard, be honest, assert what you want, and then you're just going to be powerful beyond measure, like Ulrika Johnson.
That crazy bitch.
Thank you so much for agreeing to talk to me today, Ulrika. I love you.
Oh, thank you, darling. I love you too.
Well, everybody, that was Ulrika Johnson on Vicky Patterson The Secret 2. I absolutely love Ulrika. I fell in love with that when we did SES. Actually, that's a lie. I've been in love with her since Shooting Stars, Gladiators, everything. And I'm sorry if I fangirled a little hard, but I meant it. She was so part of my youth. Like, honestly, the fabric of 90s TV. So, yeah, I tried to keep my little girl crush under wraps, but I'm not sure if I managed it. If you did love this episode of Vicky Patterson The Secret 2 with Ulrika, she's currently on SES. Yes, Who Dares Wins on Channel 4 at the moment with me as well. So tune into that. Sunday's 9 o'clock, I think. But yeah, if you're loving the podcast, please do all the podcasty things. Tell your mates, leave reviews, because we are loving making it. Have a great week, everybody.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.